So here's Casey to continue the series.
Hi. We're going to continue with the spiritual gifts. Last time we stopped with the gift of deliverance, but there are some things that I want to add to it. And I got permission last night to give you an example of marketplace discernment and what you can do with that. So I want to do that as well. We talked about if you are part of a deliverance ministry, you have to have the gift of discernment somewhere in that ministry with somebody in accurate operation. And there's all kinds of people or types of ministry, whether it's someone who's in a soccer stadium praying over 50,000 people, or somebody like Doris Wagner who might give you 2 or 3 hours of a block of time and you will walk away from her free. And she ministers to one person one-on-one. Those with the gift of deliverance, remember all Christians, that means all of us, have the role of casting out demons. So if we go someplace or somebody comes to us and we know there's a spirit of fear there, we have the right and the authority from Jesus Christ to cast out a spirit of fear. When you'd go to a deliverance minister or ministry, if you are dealing with something that you're just not getting a handle on, you're not getting freedom from, or you've been set free and you've walked in healing for a while and maybe you need to go deeper. The people that minister deliverance have a special grace for casting out demons and setting captives free. Most of them will have the gift of discerning of spirits, but they also, if they're mature, know to move only in the timing of the Lord. They have the ability to wrestle and prevail, and they move on 3 or 4 levels of ministry. Most of you know about the personal level. You come to somebody, I need help, I need, you know, generational curses broken or whatever. That's personal level. But then some people have been involved in witchcraft or Freemasonry or organized evil, the occult level. And there are those that are able to deal with the occult level, witchcraft. They're able to deal with the occult level maybe in their town. And then there are those that deal at the strategic level, and this is a regional thing. And those of you that have been to Reform Rochester, a lot of times we're doing strategic level warfare. We are warring and praying and worshiping over the region to get God's strategy to move forward to set this place free. Not just this church, this whole region. Because God has had his thumbprint on it and he wants it back. And he wants it to look like his kingdom. And then there's dominion level. And those are people, and there aren't too many of them, who are gifted to bring down principalities and rulers of wickedness in high places over nations and groups of nations. And I know a couple of them, but there aren't too many of them. Some pitfalls of people that pray deliverance. I once had Chuck DeGroat just make a comment, but it took me by surprise. Chuck DeGroat is a pastor of Spencerport Assembly of God. And he said, I want the person that not only sees all the demons, but sees all the angels around too. And at that point, I was so busy looking at the demons, I wasn't looking for the angels. And I spent the whole summer looking for the angels, and that's what I saw all summer, which is great, because I don't like seeing the demons. But sometimes we can get so bound up in looking at the demon or the curse we're breaking or whatever, we don't see God's angels at work. And without his angels at work, it's not going to happen. We can be deceived if we start talking to demons because they always lie. We can become worn out and suffer backlash if we don't take the time to renew and refresh ourselves in the presence of God. We can try and operate at the wrong level of warfare. If I only have authority to war at the personal level, I better not be going after the strategic level. And biblically, if you remember the seven sons of Sceva, they tried to minister outside of their authority, and they went running naked and wounded down the road. I don't want to go there. So, now, the example of using a spiritual gift in the marketplace. A couple of years ago, my daughter, talking to us on the phone, said, I'm ready to quit. And this kid has worked so hard to become a CRNA, which is a nurse anesthetist. And I said, why? And she started describing what she calls a very toxic atmosphere in the hospital. And people were backstabbing each other. People were sick. People were yelling at each other in front of patients who were then nervous and anxious because the people that were supposed to be helping them were yelling and screaming at each other. And basically a lot of stuff was going on that shouldn't have been going on. And both Al and I, you know, thought a bit and we said, what's behind it? Because my daughter has a gift of discernment that she doesn't always like to use because she doesn't always like what she sees. And she started laying out the spiritual background of what was going on. And this was so bad, people were out on extended leave with illness. It was that toxic. And just with this in this the OR group of the hospital. So we encouraged her to start interceding and start reading specific parts of the Bible. Al just said, well, read this and read this. And I think she was reading Isaiah and I can't remember what else. And she said, I get up and I start praying. I'm praying as I'm driving to work and I'm praying as I'm walking in the door. And she started to see things change. She didn't say anything to anybody, but she started to see things change. And people started getting healed. They stopped yelling at each other. The patients were doing better. And by the time she left, people were talking to each other again because she went on to a different job. But here's a person who used their gift of discernment in a very toxic situation in the workplace to bring about healing for God. They didn't even know what was happening. But she did. And God had showed her what was behind what was going on. And so we stood with her. So she wasn't by herself. She knew we were standing with her. And she knew how to pray. So she was using two gifts. She has a gift of intercession. And she definitely has a gift of discernment. Using it in the workplace. She finally sent us a note and was telling us how much it had improved. And she said, I realize my mission field is in the hospital and with my patients and not in church. Because she was realizing her gifts were going to be better used outside of the four walls of the church than in the church. And she happens to go to my son's church, so which is very much like ours. Okay. Let's talk about the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues is the special ability that God gives to certain people of the body of Christ. One, to speak to God in a language they have never learned, and or to receive and communicate an immediate message from God to his people through a divinely anointed utterance in a language they have never learned. And this is one of the most controversial gifts in the body today. It arises from several doctrines. Excuse me. Speaking in tongues, one, I've heard people say speaking in tongues is divisive at best, and I've had people come up to me and say, you're right of the devil. You're speaking in tongues, that's right of the devil, and they're, you know, you've got to quit. And number two, people say it is the only evidence that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if you don't speak in tongues, you can't possibly be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there are churches in this town today that are still telling people that very same thing. Now, it's created first and second class citizens. Well, I speak in tongues. You don't, so I have more than you do. That's not what God says. Remember, God says the Holy Spirit gives his gifts as he chooses. Right? And it's caused a lot of hurt and discouragement. When we first got baptized in the Spirit, I have a very, very good friend in Tennessee. She still does not speak in tongues, but you can't spend 10 minutes in her presence without knowing that she walks in the Spirit of God. And she, her sister, who lived elsewhere in the country, actually was made to take a class to learn how to speak in tongues and still could not. And basically, they told her she didn't have enough faith. She wasn't a good Christian. And so she was very discouraged and very hurt. And this was happening all over the place. It makes me remember, though, that my friend's husband came with us to a full gospel businessman's dinner, and he said, "I want to hear people speaking in tongues." It's okay, Mike. You can maybe. And all around him during the prayer time, they're praying in tongues and they're praying in tongues, and all he heard was English. So go figure. They never prayed in tongues. Oh, yes, they did. So God is God, and he probably had interpretation and didn't even know it. It's a doctrine of men and churches, this you can't be baptized in the Spirit unless you speak in tongues. Now, there's a lot of passages in the Bible, and they were baptized in the Spirit, they began speaking in tongues. But it doesn't say they had to speak in tongues. And in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, Paul writes, he wishes we all would speak in tongues, but desire more the gift of prophecy. Well, if we don't all speak in tongues, that means there's some of us that don't, right? If he wishes we all would, that means that there were some in the Corinthian church that he knew were baptized, but that still did not speak in tongues. So, it's a spiritual gift. It's given by the Spirit as he wishes. Doris Wagner has prayed for the gift of tongues for many years. I didn't know this until I was going through Peter Wagner's book on gifts. And she's always been open to receiving it. And she still does not speak in tongues. However, people come to her from all over the world, and she casts out demons. You can't cast out demons if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. And she has prayed at the strategic, if not the dominion, level as well. She is a very powerful woman of God. You feel the Holy Spirit all over her as soon as you get near her, but she doesn't have the gift of speaking in tongues. All manifestations of spiritual gifts are baptisms of the Holy Spirit. So when I was thinking about this yesterday and I asked Al if I could do this, a lot of us, myself included, were put under a lot of pressure to speak in tongues. And so what I want to do is ask you, whether you speak in tongues or not, if you were put under a lot of pressure or condemnation and would like that broken off of you right now, I'd like you to stand. And it doesn't matter if you speak in tongues or if you don't. No, you're not. I hear and done that.
I got to pray over Casey. She came down and she said, what about this? And I said, you're right. And she said, well, would you pray? And I said, yes. She said, well, how about now? So let me say something else about tongues. Holy Spirit wants to move demonstratively in the earth. And one of the reasons why the miraculous healings, believers walking through hospital wards and the hospitals being emptied, I mean, miraculous, not laying hands on anyone, just the Lord said, go in and do that. The reason that stopped was because the leadership of the church said tongues was too messy because they couldn't control it.
Yep.
So we are welcome. If you have the gift of public tongues, you are welcome to release it. There are people here who have the gift of interpretation, which Casey will teach on. You probably heard people singing in the Spirit. Feel free to sing in the Spirit when we go into free worship. Sometimes I don't know the words to the song, so I just sing to the Lord. And it's a new song. So she's asked me to break the condemnation off of you. Whether you spoke quickly in tongues, I was one of the ones that did. Couldn't stop.
Not me.
It took...
forever.
A year.
No, not that.
For her to get more than six syllables. Don't let the enemy condemn you. There is something in Isaiah that says, I have put a stammering tongue in there. So if all you got is ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, ask the Lord to give you more. Don't let the enemy stop you. If that's what he's given you and you give it to him, be blessed in it. Anytime you build a fire, you have the heat and you have the smoke. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you may prophesy, you may speak in tongues, you may heal the sick, you may cast out demons. Whatever you do by the power of the Spirit just means that you have received the Spirit. Do not let someone tell you that the Bible says because you don't speak in tongues, you are not filled with the Spirit of God. Ask him to show you chapter and verse. There is none. Father, I speak over my brothers and sisters now. Release. I release them, Lord, from the condemnation that the enemy has put upon them to be performance-oriented and to do something according to the path of man rather than the leading of your Holy Spirit. I say they are free, Lord, because you have filled them. They are free to demonstrate your Spirit in any way that you give them. Lord, we release them from the condemnation. We release them from the lie and the accusation. And we put our foot down now on the accuser of the brethren. And we say that that lie that has come against them, that accusing tongue, is now condemned by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the victory of his cross. Jesus, you are our baptizer. And we thank you that you have baptized us afresh this night. And we rejoice in whatever way you choose to manifest your Spirit through us. We will flow with you and allow your Spirit to glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Breathe. By the way, I told you I was going to take another spiritual gift survey. I am not one who will be speaking to you in public tongues. I'm also not an evangelist, and I'm not an apostle. A few other things. There are two kinds of tongues. Now that we've just kind of settled down, and I say let you walk in freedom. Whether you speak in tongues or not, walk in freedom and liberty. There's two kinds of tongues, public and private. And the private tongues we call our prayer language. And it is, that's what it is. It's the conversation that goes between you and God. And it has no interpretation. It's not to be used in church or a public setting. But Peter Wagner identified five benefits that the use of private tongues gives us if you have it. One, tongues enables our spirits to communicate directly with God above and beyond the power of our minds to understand. And to me, I'll tell people, for me personally, to pray in tongues is like cheating. I don't even have to think about what I'm praying. It just comes out. The issue is trying to figure out what I am praying when I'm praying for somebody else. But I don't have to think about it. My mind just goes someplace else, and the prayer just goes to God. Number two, tongues liberates the Spirit of God within us. Number three, tongues enables the Spirit to take its place of ascendancy over soul and body. When we're praying in tongues, we're not worrying about what our bodies feel like and who we're mad at. Number four, tongues is God's provision for catharsis, therefore important to our mental health. I had to look up that word. It has nothing to do with the physical purging. It is the emotional or spiritual cleansing or purging. Tongues is a very easy way to do that. Some people go to counselors. Every once in a while, somebody vents at me and I realize what's happening. And that there's an emotional something there. You can watch a chick flick, ladies, and you're crying and crying, and then all of a sudden afterwards you feel better. There's been a catharsis there of your emotions and your feelings. Tongues is better. God gave it to us for that. And tongues meet our needs for a whole new language for worship, prayer, and praise. Because we get to that place where we don't know the next thing to say. Now, public tongues is the immediate message from God to his people that we defined in the second part of that, the definition. And it's the gift spoken publicly at worship gatherings for other people to hear. And it requires interpretation. Most of you have heard Sherry speak in tongues. She has a public gift of tongues. And when she does, somebody here can interpret. And if I remember correctly, she has interpreted for herself several times. A lot of times, people that have a public gift of tongues will also be able to interpret, put in language we understand, what they've said.
Do you always understand what you
said? No. Not always. At least that's my understanding. I have never spoken publicly with a public gift of tongues. And I have never interpreted either. But my understanding is that no, they don't always understand. It is not like a spoken language where you have verbs and nouns and grammar and punctuation, okay? Tongues is not like that. And so my understanding is that when people have an interpretation of tongues, they don't have a word-for-word translation. They have a message from God that tells us what God was saying. So you hear tongues, the public tongues, and that's a sign and a wonder, actually. And it will speak to an unbeliever if it is interpreted. And it will speak to the believer, it encourages the believer if it is interpreted. If you go and you read 1 Corinthians 14, it's all about the use of tongues in the church. And why, when, and where, and why it should be used or not, and what it does. It's to edify and build us up. And if a person comes in that doesn't know the Lord hears someone speaking in tongues and there's no interpretation, he's going to think we're nuts. But the two together is a prophetic message. Okay?
With a public tongue, sometimes it will be emotional and could be demonstrative. meaning the person may be doing something more than just standing there delivering a message. Remember, the Holy Spirit is using our imperfect vessel to bring across his message. Sometimes the person will be weeping, sometimes they may be laughing, or sometimes they may be just talking like Casey and I are. So don't judge the experience. Listen to the interpretation.
It is not a tentative expression. We can be very quiet in our prayer language. But a person that's speaking in a public gift of tongues, their voice is usually strong, and they just go. It's not a iffy kind of deal. They're there or they're not. And so when you hear Sherry speaking, it's right there. And she speaks loudly enough. The last time she did, I could hear her speaking as she was coming up the aisle, even before she got to the mic. So, and she wasn't yelling, but it was forceful, it was deliberate, it wasn't tentative at all. Okay. Now, it is not, I said before, it's not the speaking of a people language or a linguistic language. It is something that has never been learned. Now, there are some missionaries that have gone on the field and they have learned a people language almost overnight. And that's a miraculous sign that God's given them, but they are speaking the language of the people they're living among. And that's a linguistic language. That's not tongues. We know a man named Amilcar that we met in Guatemala, and he was given English on his wedding night. And he was the best translator we ever had down there. And he really spoke very fluently and very well, and he had never spoken it before. And at this point, he's actually moved his ministry to Pennsylvania? Pittsburgh. Yeah. So he speaks it well enough to be able to move up here, and he trains people to go to the Middle East. Okay, interpretation of tongues, definition. The gift of interpretation of tongues is the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body to make known in the vernacular the message of one who speaks in tongues. And we've already said it's not a translation, it's an understanding. It's often the person who's speaking has the interpretation, but not always. The interpretation is given by the Holy Spirit, and they get the meaning of the message that was spoken. It's not a word-for-word translation, understanding of vocabulary and punctuation kind of deal. I said before that it is equivalent to prophecy, the two together, and the interpretation always has to be subject to the scriptures, just like any prophetic utterance. Now let's talk about intercession. Yes, sir?
Can the interpretation be given by more than one person?
I've seen that happen, yes. Where one person will start, and then another person has another word, another person has another word, and all together there's a whole message that in and of one person you only get part of it, and if that stops, it might have been lost. You lose the rest of it. Go ahead.
We're in teaching mode. In a mature prophetic house, someone may speak in a tongue, and the leader of the house may say, "Stephen, you've got the first interpretation. Denise, you go second, and I will go last." And they may already know who the Lord has spoken to, whether they've ever interpreted a tongue or not. Do you see how the Spirit leads even in interpreting the message? And so, yes, we've been in settings, we've participated in that before. And if that ever happens here, just release what the Lord's shown you. Even if it's just one word, the next person needed your word to release their peace.
Yep.
If there's no interpretation within that service or at that time, can it come at a later
Yes. If there's no interpretation at that time, can it come at a later time? Let me give the example of Cheryl's last tongue. The Lord had been speaking to me of something completely different. Now, sometimes it happens when Sue speaks in tongues too. I may have a prophetic word. My prophetic word is not the interpretation of that tongue. The last time she had a tongue, all of a sudden when she started speaking, the Holy Spirit just took me out of the left field and brought me into where she was speaking. And then later, if you read the transcripts that Lynn sent out, I went back to what the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about. Sometimes he has told me I have the fourth prophetic word in a service. If there's only two prophetic words, do I speak? I can't, because he told me I have the fourth word. So if someone had the interpretation and they didn't release it, there may have been someone else who was waiting for the Lord to release that piece before they could release their piece.
Mason?
Yes. Sometimes when we're up on the platform, we're sensing that the Holy Spirit is doing something. Pauline will sometimes ask, does someone have a word or does someone have something from the Spirit? Because sometimes what you release, releases what somebody's been waiting for. Let me tell you that when you've got the fourth word and you want to release it and you can't, it doesn't feel too good.
We have a lot of intercessors in this church, more than most, or a higher percentage. And we've talked about intercession before, but the gift of intercession is a special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to pray for extended periods of time on a regular basis and see frequent and specific answers to their prayers to a degree much greater than that which is expected of the average Christian. Are we all supposed to pray? Yes. Do we see answers to our prayers? Yes. But the intercessor will have a specific burden that they'll be given to pray for, and they will see answers to that prayer more often than the average Christian. We've talked about the 12 styles of intercession and prayer within the last year, and I believe that even those who are not intercessors will still pray in those 12 styles. So I'll remind you that they are list, solar salvation, crisis, issues, mercy, personal, prophetic, warfare, worship, governmental, people group in Israel, and financial. And so some of you may just go to war all the time and you're not an intercessor, but you know how to war. Then maybe you're a warfare prayer. Some of you love to sing songs, or I often use flags. That's a worship intercessor or a worship prayer. Okay? So you probably have at least one, if not more than one. Remember we talked about your unique to you gift mix? All right. It's essential that an intercessor understands their unique gift mix in prayer so that they can be effective and see the Lord move mountains on their behalf. Because prayer births stuff that's going on. Intercession brings to pass things that are going on or holds back things that need to be held back. About 5% of the congregation will be intercessors. I think it's higher in this particular congregation. And usually 80% or more of them will be women. When gifted intercessors are praying, it enables others who are gifted to become much more effective in the areas they're gifted in, and that helps the body of Christ to become healthy and grow. If you have the gift of intercession, you will pray longer than most people, usually at least an hour, but some people pray 2 to 5 hours a day. They pray with more intensity. And it involves a combination of identifying and using the authority, and there's an agony of seeing it come to pass that most other people don't have. They enjoy prayer more. They get great personal satisfaction from praying. And they often see frequent and dramatic answers to their prayers. They hear from God regularly and more accurately than most. Things to watch out for include identifying with your gift mix or not identifying with your gift mix to be able to pray with the accuracy and power that God gave you. If you are a worship warrior and someone hands you a list, you're going to go, oh, please. But that list person will know exactly who's doing what and when, and you need them. So it's when Al and I are looking for people and asking people to pray for us, we find out what their gifting is because we know we need the prophetic and the worship and the warfare and the list prayer. Betty Orgel was a list prayer. And she would come to me and say, okay, Casey, you've done A, B, C, D. Now what are you doing next? And it would remind me, okay, I'm at the end of the list I gave her. Okay. And she knew exactly what I was doing when. And a list prayer, a lot of us don't like to do it, but they are the ones that if they say yes, they will pray for you. They can pray for you for years. And once they've said yes, until either you ask them to stop or they tell you that God's lifted that burden. So you need to understand your gift mix and move in it. Not understanding or exercising the authority God gives you to accomplish his purpose. A lot of us still struggle with that idea of the authority God's given us. And if we don't understand that, we're not going to pray and declare and decree the things God's put on our hearts to bring things to pass. We can assume responsibility for the timing or outcome of the intercession. It's an issue of control and manipulation. And another one is not going to the proper authority with what God reveals or gossiping about what God has revealed. If you're an intercessor, you need to be a really good secret keeper. And another one is being what we call flaky. Doing really weird things at really weird times. Okay, I'm a worship. One of my giftings is being a worship intercessor. I often will use flags before the service, and I'm interceding, not just playing. But if someone comes down playing with flags now, is that the right time or place? No. Let me give you an example of what can happen. I'm an intercessor, and I hear from the Lord, the kids are supposed to go to Haiti this summer in June. So I hightail it over to Bonnie, and I say, the kids are supposed to go to Haiti this summer in June. And then I go to Lynn, and I say, the kids are supposed to go to Haiti this summer in June. And then I go to Patricia, and I know all these guys are intercessors. The kids are supposed to go to Haiti this summer in June. Have I talked to the right person? I'm not talking to the authority that I need to talk to. God didn't tell me I had to keep it a secret. But the person I need to talk to is either Al or Lisa. Okay? So I finally get to talk to Al and I say, the kids are supposed to go to Haiti this summer in June. Okay? Go back home and we'll just pretend we're not married. sorry. But I'm praying for another week and I'm stewing and I come, did you buy the tickets yet? When are they going? Have you got the right, you know, who's going? When are they going? Where are they going? Have you got the tickets yet? Well, how come you don't have the tickets yet? Now, we've had people do that to us. And what they did was to take a tremendous gift of intercession and take responsibility for the outcome. The intercessor, let me free you guys up. If you don't know this already, you should. The intercessor's job is to hear from God, to pray to the point where they are supposed to take it to the leadership. Or if, for instance, if we've asked you to pray for us and you hear something, if you hear something from me, do you go to Lisa? You come to me. Okay? If I hear something for Kathy, I go to Kathy. I don't go to everybody else. Because when I start going to everybody else, I could cause her hurt. I'm a person. I could be mistaken. I'm just a human body, okay? A very imperfect person. I can cause division in the body. And that's not a mature intercessor. Okay? When you get something, you go to the leadership, and then it's their problem with God. I could say, bye-bye. Now they can turn around and say, would you please pray about this more? Yes. But once I say to Al, the kids are supposed to go to Haiti this summer, and no, guys, I haven't heard that. I'm sorry. But they're supposed to go this summer, and they're supposed to go in June. It's not my problem anymore. And when we keep it as our problem and keep grabbing it back, we are coming under manipulation and control.
Yes, amen.
Okay? Witchcraft. Very good. All right. Let's talk about the gift of leading worship. No, let's not. Let's just stop right there. It's about time. So we will continue this at another time, and we'll probably pick up with leading worship. So Lord, I ask that you would seal to this body's heart what you have for them, that you would show them and illuminate for them their gifts and their talents, whether they are 5 or whether they are 95, Lord, I ask that you would bring forth the gifts and the talents that you have given each person in here, and that we would have the freedom to exercise those talents. Lord, I ask that you would show them how to use those talents when they are not here, but the rest of the week, when they are in the workplace, when they are in school, wherever they are, Lord, I ask that you would show them how to use those talents. Amen.